I would just like to share that my husband died and my next door neighbor had moved, but she found me and called, and she offered to pray with me for a year and a half every day until I was able to function on my own, to be better or whatever. But she was there for me a year and a half, calling every day at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we prayed together. I just wanted to share that.
Wow. Now that's a neighbor, isn't it? Neighbors loving neighbors. And really, I think you give a story that exemplifies what the Bible says, that we should not think only of our own interest or needs or pain or hurt, but also the interests, pains, and hurts of other people. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. We're going to be talking about that today, helping others who are hurting. Maybe you've got a story in your own heart of someone reaching out to you, or you to someone else. Well, we've got callers already lined up today who will be sharing their stories here in a few moments. But our phone line is open to those who are saying, hey, I just want to be a part of something that's making a difference. And you're doing that through Intentional Living. And I thank you for your calls and your support. When you call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or anytime online at theintentionallife.com. I'd imagine in our lifetime, each of us can think of a time when someone reached out to us and was there. In fact, it's been said that you really know your true friends when you go through a loss, because that's when they show up. That's when they make a difference in your life. Not during the good times. It's easy to make a difference or to be available. But when someone's really hurting and struggling and they're there for you, that's when it really makes a huge difference. We're going to talk about that today and hear some great stories coming from our Intentional Living Center.
Hi, this is Lori McGee. I'm just leaving a message about being intentional. This last Sunday, I really didn't want to go to church, and I realized, well, if I don't want to go, there's probably a really good reason I should be going. So I went. There was a gal in front of me that I had never met, and for some reason, I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to put my hand on her as she was sitting during our worship. Just put my hand on her shoulder, and I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. I've never done that. That's kind of kooky. Well, so anyway, I did it. And then our meet and greet time came, and I, you know, went up and talked with her, and she said, well, I can't shake your hand. And I said, well, how come? She goes, oh, well, my shoulder's injured. And I said, well, which one? And it happened to be the shoulder that I had my hand on while we were singing praise and worship. And I will say, I did feel the Holy Spirit when I put my hand on her. But anyway, I was glad I was obedient. I'm glad I was intentional. And I'm glad I stepped out in courage and in faith to listen to the Holy Spirit do what I needed to do and not be embarrassed by it.
Good for you. You know, that's really a big part of this thing of helping those who are hurting, just being willing to step out of your comfort zone. And if that's not something that you're comfortable with or something that you normally do, maybe today you're going to hear some stories of people who have. 888-888-1717. Connie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What?
Me here.
Tell about the person who stepped into your life. What did they do?
Well, actually, it was many people. They just prayed for us and prayed with us all the time through all of our trials, which were many. And we belonged to, you know, a church, and we were just, it was just one thing after another, and everyone kept, you know, keeping us encouraged, you know, God.
Well, how'd they do that? I mean, did they reach out? Did they do practical things? When you were going through what? Just some financial or personal problems in your family?
No. My husband got laid off.
Okay.
And a week later, I got laid off. And then both of us are laid off. And we couldn't get any stamps, food stamps or anything, because we made too much money with both of us laid off, which was like, oh my gosh, we have kids, how are we going to feed them? So we started going to food banks, and then I ended up having to have emergency heart surgery.
Wow.
And almost bled to death, and had to go to Washington to live with my dad with my kids until I recovered. My husband looked for a job up there, and he couldn't find one, and he came back down to Arizona and started working. He had been working for a valet company, but it's only a part-time job. And we thought that that was, you know, bad. But, you know, God can help you through some really heavy things. And we just kept praying that, I just kept visualizing Jesus holding me and holding my family and holding my husband and letting us know that we're going to be okay. And my friends and family, of course, my family would give some financial help, but it really wasn't enough to get us by.
Now, did people, on a real practical level, though, Connie, did what did people do? What specifically did people do to help you when you were going through this?
People gave us, people paid for things, like when they asked us to go somewhere because we didn't want to go anywhere because we didn't have the money. So they would encourage us to go places with them, and they would pay for it, and they would drop by food. If they were in the area, oh, we're in the area, hey, can you use this chicken? We don't need it.
Was that a positive experience for you?
Yes, it was. When I was a little girl, my dad hurt his back and was laid off, and we had five kids at home. And the church had brought over 17 bags of food.
Hmm.
And that actually got my father to be a Christian.
Yeah, did you hear that? I mean, it was that act. When we talk about our faith, it does come down to not only saying God's going to be with you and God's going to bless you, but what do you do? How do you step up? And you can't do everything. I know we got some listening, and God love you. Some of you are listening, and you're already burned out because you're just doing too much, you know, and then you're going to feel guilty after this program like you need to be doing more. Then there's the rest of us that have capacity to be able to reach out, to help, to do more, to care for people, through prayer and through practical application of what we've learned. Did you hear Connie say, hey, her dad came to Christ after 17 bags of food were brought from the church? You know why? Because God was in those bags of groceries. The love of God came through those bags of groceries, impacted her family, impacted Connie, now impacting the next generation. It gets back to being very intentional. Connie, thank you for your call. More coming. What are you doing? Who's touched your life when you were hurting?
This is Betty Garrett, founder of Caregivers for Cancer. One way you can be intentional in your caregiving is to live in the present. Forget about yesterday and don't worry about the future. When my husband Gene was diagnosed with cancer a second time, we didn't know we only had 9 months together. Gene was blessed with a wonderful sense of humor and a heart as big as Texas. We knew if God gave us 10 years or 10 days, we wanted to make the most of our time together. This can be difficult, especially when you have doctor appointments, radiation, chemo treatments. But here's what we did, and it may work for you too. We tried keeping things as normal as possible. We would rent our favorite movies and hold hands. We would walk as far as he could, but we still held hands. We played cards, and yes, we became selfish with our time together. And when Gene became too weak for any activity, we would hold hands and pray together. For Intentional Living, this is Betty Garrett.
You know, Betty reminds us that you got to take care of yourself, you got to take care of your relationships, you got to take care, like they say on the airplane, if the airbags fall out above your head, you're supposed to put it on before your child. I mean, you think logically, well, I'm going to take care of my child first. But if you're not getting the oxygen, you're not going to even be awake to be able to help your child. And so that's a principle as we talk about helping those who are hurting. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Stories of people who have been helped. Candy says online, praying for them. That's what I do. Sometimes listening is the best way to show friendship and that you care. Just giving up time and be with them and listen. Cassandra said, I believe in the power of prayer. So I pray for them. I know that God can do all things, so I pray in Jesus' name that whatever it is, he gives them strength during their time of pain. Jody says, listen, quietly listen, then pray for them right then and there. That's a good point. Pray for them now. When you say to a person, hey, can I pray for you? Pray then and bring God into the middle of this opportunity for him to do a tremendous work. Okay, Karam is on the line. Did I get your name right, Karam?
Well, it's close enough, Karam.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to the program from Tennessee. Appreciate your call. How did someone step into your life? Tell us about it.
Well, this was not too long ago. I am a single mother, I'm a waitress, and things get really tough sometimes. Hmm. I called my brother and I said, Caleb, I just feel like I'm drowning. There is no way out of this hole. And he just speaks encouragement and just reminded me that this big, beautiful God of ours, this creator of all things, cares so much about me, little tiny me, that he wants a relationship with me. And that night, I told my brother, I was like, well, I need to make changes. I need to raise my son differently. Things have to change. That night, I prayed to the Lord, said, just come to me in my sleep. I'm too dense to understand you during the day. Just come to me in my sleep. I had a dream that was like watching a movie. I was a nurse, and I remember it so vividly. And I woke up to a text from my brother that said, have you ever thought about being a nurse? That was a month ago. Today I'm in school, and I'm going to school to be a nurse.
Good for you.
It was just, thank you. It was just so encouraging to remember that this glorious, glorious, wonderful Lord of ours cares about the small things. And we're not drowning. We just need to look up rather than in.
Mm. Boy, that's something. You know, Karam, as I hear you share, it was the encouragement. You say your brother?
My brother, yeah.
That made a difference, enough so that you would even say, hey, I'm going to change my profession. I'm going to take what God's given me and build on it. So how's school going for you?
So far, so good.
Hey, listen, you're going to have discouraging days. You know that.
Absolutely.
And the enemy's not going to like what you're doing. If you're bettering yourself so you can, you know, fulfill kingdom work, just stay the course. You can do it. God never, he never puts us in a place, I don't believe, if he's really leading us, where he's not going to continue to be there with us. I think there are times we put ourselves in stupid places, and then we're begging, you know, for God to save us, save us, save us, and he wants us to get out of the hole we're in and go in a different direction. But when he's in the middle of it, he's going to be there, and he'll be with you on the good days and the bad days, and he'll help you get through this. And Karam, I think if you trust him, you could be the best nurse in Tennessee.
Well, thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call.
Have a good day.
Thank you. How about you? Who stepped into your life? Maybe it was just a word. Maybe a word. I was telling some of the staff here before we came on Intentional Living that Don and I traveled somewhere. I don't remember, to a conference somewhere, and we arrived like 9 o'clock at the airport, and we were hungry, and we stopped by a Cracker Barrel driving to the hotel. I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. There's hardly anybody left in the place, just us and maybe a couple other people. And the waitress had a lot of time, so we started talking, and she was obviously hurting, struggling. It's kind of like what we just heard from Karam, trying to make ends meet, didn't know what was going on, having trouble in her home and with her kids. And I remember just encouraging her, letting her know God would be with her, that God cared for her. And as we got up to leave, it was like a $20 bill or something, I don't know. And I thought, you know, this is not only to say we're going to pray for you, but do something. And I can still recall saying, hey, you know, tonight I'm going to do a little more of a tip. I'm kind of like, you do the math and you give 15% or whatever. And I left $20 just to say, listen, you know, maybe a little bit can help. Sometimes in our lives, we can do just a little bit just to encourage a person. It could be something financial. It could be something with prayer, obviously, and always just a word of encouragement. But when you're hurting, what does it take? What difference does a word make in your life? Imagine what difference that word will make in somebody else's life if you choose to be intentional.
At some point, we all face a defining moment, a moment that demands a choice, turn away or take action.
The decision that you make when you're faced with that defining moment will impact your future. It's a part of living. These moments and how we respond to these moments in our life help to define how our life is operating.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, Your Defining Moment, he'll unpack how Nehemiah intentionally responded to a defining moment in his life and how you can respond to yours. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. When you're hurting, what do you do? I mean, I'd just say to everyone, if you find yourself reaching out to someone that you love that's hurting, and you feel like they're angry, they're pushing you back, pushing you away, instead of being receptive, they push you away. Remember this. There's a principle that I've seen over the years of counseling with people, and that is that hurt people tend to hurt people. And so when you're hurting, the only thing you can sometimes do, instead of being open to receiving, you put a wall or a shell around yourself. And so at those times, it's just a matter of practicing the presence of Christ at that moment in prayer and in quietness and availability. Just a thought. Let's find out from Lauren what her story is. Lauren, welcome to the Intentional Living Center.
Hi, thank you.
Go right ahead. Tell us your journey and what did people do?
Well, just what you just said before you talked to me. That is so true. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And I went through a depression for about 5 years. And I pushed people away.
So when people try to reach out to you, what would you do? How did you push them away?
I was hurt at church when I was younger, and I took it out all on all of them, and I would just yell at them sometimes, and I'm so sorry for that, and just push them away when they wanted just to help me.
Well, who got through, and how?
Sorry, what?
Who got through to you, and how did they do it?
Well, they just pursued me like God would, and I didn't want anything to do with God, and they still pursued me and showed me God's love, and even through my suicide attempts and everything, they loved me. And that's the best thing you can do for anybody, is just show them you love them.
So even though you, at the time, didn't want them there, they didn't feel your receptivity, they stood there anyway. They loved you anyway.
Yes, and they prayed for me, and I'm now back with God, and it's amazing.
Life's going much better, huh?
Yeah, that's God is amazing, and He loves you, everybody, so much, and just keep on holding on to Him.
Good for you. Lauren, hey, listen, thank you for telling the story, and there's got to be at least one person somewhere who's going through what you're going through right now in some way that your story made a difference to them. By sharing it intentionally with us, it'll make a difference to them. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Let's jump over to Susan. She's on the line here. Susan, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Hello.
Good. Appreciate your call. Tell us your journey. Who stepped in, and why did they step in, and what difference did it make?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my journey is that I went through just last weekend. I was in the hospital. I had to be taken by ambulance to a local hospital here in Phoenix, Arizona, with some real severe cardiac issues. And, well, to be honest with you, I really had thought I was going to die when I was in the emergency department, because my heart was not converting back to the normal rhythm.
Yeah.
And even through medications. And so during that time period, really, it was such an oppressive, awful feeling. And I had called my sons in Oklahoma, and I called my family and my sisters and others and said, oh gosh, will you guys please pray for me, this situation. I said, I told the Lord I'm ready to go on if He wants to take me, but if He has a purpose and a plan still for my life, then please preserve that, you know, preserve my life, because I want to fulfill that. Well, lo and behold, I'm still here, and it did convert back, and I'm still seeing a cardiologist, of course, and I'm feeling so much better. But I just really want to emphasize, you know, you talk and you teach us about being intentional. And I think when we are really intentional and specific with our prayers to God, and we let Him know, and other people you got this group of people who are praying and interceding for you, all in agreement for the same thing, and you're very intentional and focused in your prayers, that I really feel it touches the heart of God. And I have no doubt that perhaps somebody was fasting for me. My ex-husband called me and called several times to see how I was doing. And I've got this feeling in my heart he probably went on a little fast for me, because I was having a hard time when I came out of the hospital. And anyhow, I feel like I feel like I'm on the up and up even just a week later, and things are much better. And I just want to emphasize once again, you know, just being there for people, as everyone has been saying in these phone calls, is so phenomenal.
And I think that's, listen, God bless you. I'm glad you're doing better, Susan, and getting treatment. What do we hear here? When people are hurting, you're going to get mixed messages. I need you. I don't need you. I want you. I don't want you. I mean, that's part of the process. But as a follower of Christ, we're not there to fix them. We're not the Holy Spirit, but we're certainly there to love them and stand by and be available when we can and shut up when we have to and just be available to do what God would have us do at that moment, to be available for that person in need.
Hi, my name is Jean. When one of my sons, and they're in their early 40s right now, called from jail. He had been driving a car without insurance, and he was drinking. And I said, I'm not going to rescue you. That's what I told him over the phone. It might have sounded harsh, but I think that was a step in growing up for him. This was before he was married. I think that sometimes we become too codependent to our children, but it helped him grow up, you know? Thank you very much, and so thankful to have your program.
For the longest time, I just thought this was my normal. Waking up with my mind racing before I even got out of bed, anxiety felt like this constant background noise in my life. No matter how much I tried to just relax, my brain had other plans.
Sound familiar? So many people are struggling through life, battling anxiety. But each day, Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson helps you live an intentional life. In his new book, Breathe Again, Finding Peace Beyond Fear, Anxiety, and Worry, Dr. Randy offers practical steps to help you face life's emotional challenges with confidence.
I used to think peace was something other people had, but I'm learning that peace is something I can choose. I'm learning to breathe again. And it all started by living intentionally.
When you support Intentional Living during our spring support drive with a gift of $30 a month or all at once at $360, you can take home Dr. Randy's new book, Breathe Again. Support this ministry and change lives by calling 888-888-1717 or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A brand new book just released this week by and through the ministry here that I had the privilege of being a part of along with a great team, and only available through the ministry as a way of saying thanks to those of you who are standing up and being a part of the ministry and that monthly support, as Kurt just mentioned. As you're able to join us, a dollar a day in support of the ministry, 30 a month, or annualize that for the year, we want to say thanks by sending this this brand new book to you. And I tell you, the book on anxiety is not a topic that I'm unfamiliar with. I had a season in my life, I don't know if it was particularly a stressful time, raising the kids and everything going on in the ministry and work, that I had a series of panic attacks for a number of months. And it didn't seem logical, but it happens. And some of you have experienced that. Others, you just have that generalized feeling of anxiety on an ongoing basis. And for some, you need some outside help and encouragement and support and treatment. But for all of us, we need to be reminded to keep breathing. And that's why this book has been created, to remind us of the power of breathing again as a way of dealing with fear and worry and experiencing peace in our life again. And so, as Kurt mentioned, it's available right now when you join us and support that way. We have operators, our staff, ready to talk to you right now when you call 888-888-1717, or all you have to do is go online safe and securely to theintentionallife.com. You help us in support of the ministry in this area and for us to support and help this station that does so much good to help you in this community and in your family and your life. And so, thank you for calling. We want to get this book to you ASAP, Breathe Again, How We Live Beyond the Fear and Worry and Experience God's Intentional Peace for Our Life. 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Randy. My name's David. when we were kids, there were six of us kids, ages from 14 down to 8. My mom had a mental problem. She left home, but a couple of days later, we found her, and they put her in a mental hospital. And my dad, he would work 8, 10, 12 hours a day just trying to make a living. And it was basically us six kids taking care of ourselves, three boys and three girls. We would get up, would get ourselves ready, fix our breakfast, and go to school. We would come home from school, do our chores, and would fix our own supper. And then the next day, the same thing again. Just one time we come in from school, and somebody had come in and cleaned the house. They had fixed supper on the table for us kids. This went on for about 2 weeks. Every day we'd get home from school. The house would be clean. There would be food on the table, already fixed, ready to eat. And we didn't know who it was until one day this person's car got stuck in our driveway. And we knew who it was. And her name was Joanne. And I'm 55 years old now. Back then I was about 12. And to this day, every time I see her, I thank her for the service that she had done to help us kids make life a little bit easier.
Wow. That is a powerful story. David, thank you for sharing it. And it's a reminder that one person who just does one thing that they're capable of doing to help another person can impact that person for a lifetime and certainly become a memory that they carry for the rest of their lives. I would imagine each of us can think of someone in our lives, in our family, over the years that stepped up and did something to be an encouragement, a help to us as we've been talking today. And what a powerful reminder that is. You know, God has left us here on this earth beyond coming to Him and being saved. Otherwise, we'd be gone in that day to continue to serve others and love others and point others to Him. And that's why we're here. What a great opportunity to live our lives intentionally in service to other people. And I want to thank you for what you're doing to help us as a team. Together, we're doing this, in this mission together, in reaching people for Christ. You're helping people. Thank you for being a part of this journey along with each of us. All right, you can do that again right now by calling 888-888-1717, that brand new book, Breathe Again, Living the Peace That God Intends for Your Life. It's available to you as you join us in monthly support. That dollar a day is going to go a long ways. Just call 888-888-1717. Got to run. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living, for sharing your stories today.